Coming back, Kuika Mitchell, the rising middle linebacker for a Chiefs defense that's actually tackling some people. Have a big game against the Rams. But one question about the Super Bowl. That was Dick Vermeil, who I think you'd agree is one of the more charismatic leaders in NFL history. You had a very solid game, very good game. I think Jim Breach kicked a field goal, his third field goal, with just a minute left or so, a minute and a half left in that game and against the 49ers. Do you feel that there are any regrets from that experience in 1988-89?
Well, I left the field, we were winning. That's all I can say. But you know what? The bottom line is our defense played unbelievably. We had the Stanley Wilson issue the night before, in which one of our, you know, really star players went into a drug-induced haze, and he was basically, he left the hotel and was missing, disappeared. And so we lost him, and then Tim Crumry, our best defensive player, broke his leg. Our defensive players played great. Lewis Phillips got hit in the chest with the ball right between the two and the four. Had he held on to it, I think the myth of Joe Montana probably would have been a little bit different. But, you know, it was a team that came off of a 4-11 season, won 14-5, and it was a great experience. And unfortunately, I only went once, and that's the one thing that I do regret.
Well, I remember being able to play you guys. I had a wonderful game, very windy game, five field goals against you guys in Kansas City. That may have been the only game we won that year, but Boomer, you had a great career, and I thought we would shift in the last couple minutes with you to looking back on your career and your role as a father with Gunner. Here's Phil Simms talking about what it's been like for him with two sons.
If I could do it over again, I would probably do it differently. Well, I know I would do it differently. I would be a little more involved. And more involved, I mean, guide my oldest son more, who's in Tampa Bay now, and tell him more about being a player, about what's going to go on at the next level, and help him with some of those decisions. I was always trying to stay out of it. I stayed back, and I let my son handle too much of it. And
what about that? As you hear Phil, and you know that you've got those decisions coming up with a son that's fought through so much. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, Phil's kids are off-the-chart kids. I mean, they are top shelf, you know, top 1% in this country, and he has a lot to really be proud of. And he's raised two fine gentlemen. He has been a terrific father. And I think there is something to be said about staying out of it. And I think probably what he meant by that, you know, he never coached his kids, at least I don't think he ever did. He wanted the coaches to, you know, not feel the pressure of having a professional football player looking over their shoulders. So I have to tell you, Phil has been a wonderful dad and somebody who I know cares deeply about his children like we all do. Now, in my eyes, my son is 15. He is a quarterback. He plays for his varsity football team. He's not a starter. He's a third stringer. He loves putting... I want you to do what you feel is in your best interest. If you want to play football, I'll be there to support you. I do run little camps for he and his football team. I am involved. I do not coach him. I stand on the sideline quietly. You know, Gunner deals with cystic fibrosis, so that's the main thing that he has to deal with. So everything above and beyond that is an unbelievable accomplishment for him. He plays hockey, he plays lacrosse, and he plays golf. And I'm not on him pushing him, saying, you got to do this, you got to do that. The only thing we push him about is making sure he does his treatments on a daily basis. We're very involved with him, and we make sure that he is a very good student in school. And he and his sister are doing just that. So as from parents, you know, Nick, we are very proud of our kids. But the reason that they are successful is because of the involvement that we make sure that we have in their lives.
Well, we want to thank you for your involvement on the show, Boomer. You're a first-class person to be the role model on and off the field, and it's been an honor to be a friend, and I appreciate your being on the show today.
Anytime, Rico Suave. You know I'm there for you, my man.
Love you, buddy.
Right,
thank you,
too,
sir.
Man. Take care. Have a great day.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Well, making the transition from a guy that's looking back on his career to a man in his fourth year, Kuika Mitchell, who is just beginning to taste what it's like to be part of a great defense. Kuika, thanks for joining us.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I remember talking to you after a couple Chiefs games a couple years ago when so much pressure was put on you. It wasn't exactly you had Ray Lewis on one side of you and Brian Urlacher on the other. What's been the biggest change for you this year with the Chiefs defense?
You know, the biggest thing I think right now, our defensive line is playing lights out. You know, they've been playing so well, and, you know, it's actually been harder to make plays. But you know, it always starts with them, and you know, it makes the linebacker's job a lot more easy, and you know, the DBs, as long as they get a lot of pressure, it makes their job a lot more easy.
Well, but let's talk about the different people on either side of you. Gunther Cunningham finding the personnel, Tamba Ali, of course, and Jared Allen. I want to talk about that interesting mishap with Jared Allen at the end of the Seattle game as well. But on either side of you, do you feel like, and in front of you, that there's just, it's more about attitude, or is it about talent?
You know, I think it's a mixture of both. You know, you have to have talent, and, you know, at this level, everybody does. And then, you know, the attitude now, you know, we believe that we can be a great defense. And as long as you believe that, you know, you can take the right steps to becoming that. So, and I think that's the process we're in right now.
And you came from a small school in Florida, but and you're not really the biggest linebacker in the NFL, but speed and ability to see the field, those are important things as well. What's Gunther Cunningham taught you?
You know, he just, you know, I've been in this system, and he's an aggressive guy. And, you know, his attitude brings more, you know, than anything else that he does. You know, he's a intelligent guy, but, you know, just the way he approaches the game, you know, it helps me. You know, he's taught me more about the game, and so has my, you know, my coaches along the way, and now Don Blackman, who played in the league for a number of years, and you know, they just helped me be aggressive. You know, see the ball, go get it, and you know, make big plays, and that's what it's about.
We're joined also by Dr. Andrew Jacobs, who analyzes sports psychology for teams. And Andy, as you witness the team you follow closely in the Kansas City Chiefs, tell me, what do you see as the biggest difference in the leadership of a Herman Edwards? Even though most people would agree that Dick Vermeil is one of the best coaches of all time, what do you think Herman has brought to this Chiefs team?
Well, I think what Kafika just said, attitude. You know, I think the attitude of this team, especially with the defense, and Kafika's a guy who looks like he has become much more of an, not that he wasn't an aggressive linebacker before, but looks like you've become, my impression from watching the games is you've become really the leader on the defense now, and you're not afraid to say things. Whereas maybe before, that may have been something you weren't as easily expressive of things.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't in that position. Now, this year I've been voted as captain. And one of the things that Herm has done is make everybody accountable, you know, for their mistakes. And, you know, don't be afraid of success. And those are the two biggest things he tried to teach us.
And then being
one
able
of the things that Al Saunders said to me was when the Chiefs a couple years ago were going through their trials and tribulations on defense was simply that Dick, because he's such a good delegator, wouldn't come into the defensive meetings. And Al said, you know, it's not for me to say this, but if Dick would simply sit in those defensive meetings, that would send a message. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I mean, partly. But, you know, I think also in the past we were in certain positions as a defensive ball team that, you know, weren't really set up for our success, you know, calling certain timeouts, certain time management situations, you know, passing the ball, maybe when you should be running the ball. And, you know, obviously that's one thing that Herm's made clear that he does. So, you know, I think, you know, partly it's definitely on the player's shoulders, but, you know, I think some decisions probably could have been better made.
Now that you're a leader, Kawika Mitchell with the Kansas City Chiefs, right in the middle of everything now, you're playing Seattle, and you've got a very important win. You need to take it, especially with a weakened, wounded Seattle team without Sean Alexander and one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL in Hasselbeck. So the ball's intercepted by Jared Allen. He's running towards the sidelines. We know he is, shall we say, a flamboyant person. What were you thinking at that point?
You know, I did not notice that Deion Branch made that play, but you know, the situation, and Herm teaches us all the time, and in that situation, you know, we're up, and, you know, just if you get make a big play like that, just, you know, take a knee, get the ball back to the offense. I don't know if we're tied or we're up at that time, and, you know, I mean, you have to play situation ball, and, you know, he didn't at that point. He saw the end zone, his eyes got big, and he was thinking to score a touchdown.
All right, so moving on to this in the last minute of our segment here, appreciate on a Friday when you're just ready to go. You've been practicing all week, but Kawika, this is another must-win for you. For the Chiefs, 4-3, they have a chance to continue to build the respect they have for each other and around the NFL. Tell us, what is the big challenge for you on defense against the Rams?
I mean, obviously their offense. You know, they try to get a lot of big plays. Torrey Holt, he does a great job for them. Bulger is a complete, accurate quarterback. Steven Jackson is a powerful running back. He's also got a nice quick feet with a good speed, but you know, they have a lot of weapons, and they try to get you on the big plays, and, you know, the running game's not real difficult, but, you know, they do a good job of executing it. So We have a lot of challenges this week, and, you know, we need to win on the road, and that's our number one challenge as a team. So, you know, we're looking forward to the challenge.
When I was playing, we had just a fantastic secondary with Daron Cherry and Albert Lewis and Kevin Ross and Lloyd Burson, and now it looks like that secondary is getting back to that level. What has Ty Law added, along with Greg Wesley playing at such a high level this year? What have those two people in particular added when you know you're being backed up by guys that can provide that dependability on defense?
Ty Law's experience, you know, being out there, it's such a presence, you know, being in the Super Bowls, Pro Bowls, all those things. I mean, he's such a confident guy, and he's going to gamble sometimes, but, you know you can count on him over there. A lot of people aren't going to try to throw to his side, and then, you know, Greg Wesley, you know, he'll come up and hit you, but at the same time, he'll pick off a lot of balls because he has a lot of range. He can cover the whole field, and, you know, he's a great player, and he doesn't get a lot of respect that he deserves.
Who's the most undervalued, unappreciated guy on defense that has changed things for this team that was right at the bottom of the league just in the last couple of years?
You know, I would think our two D tackles. You know, we got big Ron Edwards in there and James Reed. And, you know, obviously those guys never really get the credit they deserve. But they've been playing pretty stout and, you know, taking on a lot of double teams and allowing our linebackers to run through the gaps and make a lot of plays. So it always starts with them. You know, they deserve a lot of credit more than they get.
We want to thank you for joining us on Head Games today, my friend, and want to thank you and give our best to your wife, Billy, and your three-year-old son, Luai, and anything about Hawaii and the tradition of players that have some heritage, Hawaiian and Samoan heritage, that adds to the, shall we say, the quality of talent in the NFL?
You know, I think it's just a lot of my cousins and things were just, you know, bigger guys and great athletes, and they move well and things like that, and you know, we just take a lot of pride in what we do, and, you know, as a family, and, you know, I see guys around the league, other Polynesians and, you know, Samoans and whatnot, and we always talk and take a great interest in what we're doing.
Who's your pick between Troy Polamalu and Lofa Tatupu? Who's your pick as your favorite player to look after?
I like Troy. I like the way Troy plays. You know, he's a real calm guy, but in between the snaps, he's a crazy man.